Imagine you're trying to navigate this absolutely massive global market, right? We're something like $447 billion now, and it's projected to balloon to over $724 billion by 2030.
Huge numbers.
Huge. Now, picture doing that while a titan, like Apple, just unilaterally decides to reshape the entire landscape, basically throwing a giant wrench into everyone's finely tuned machines.
Yeah, a major curveball for the whole industry.
Exactly. So how does a company not just survive that kind of turbulence, but actually thrive? How do they accelerate growth in such a high-stakes, constantly shifting environment?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is. And today, we're embarking on a deep dive into exactly that kind of story. We're focusing on Appluven Corporation, ticker symbol APP. Now, on the surface, you might look at them and think, okay, just another mobile tech company. But our sources, and we've got a comprehensive set here, spanning investment research, company shareholder letters, press releases, even forward-looking industry reports that go into Q2 2025, they reveal this really compelling narrative.
It's more than just a standard tech story.
Definitely. This isn't about small tweaks or incremental improvements. It's, well, it's a saga of really bold strategic pivots, some serious technological leaps, and frankly, some genuinely impressive financial re-engineering. So our mission for you today is to cut through all the industry noise, zero in on these audacious strategic shifts they made, and really help you understand what makes Appluven tick. Especially, you know, in a world that's increasingly grappling with digital privacy and how data gets used.
And what's truly fascinating here, and what we'll really unpack for you, is how Appluven didn't just sort of weather this significant industry disruption. They actively leveraged it. They used it to solidify and actually expand their competitive advantage.
Right. They turned a threat into an opportunity.
Precisely. We'll trace their journey, which is pretty remarkable, from this hybrid model they had, kind of balancing mobile gaming development with advertising technology, to becoming this pure play software powerhouse. And the core of this transformation, as you'll see, really lies within their proprietary AI engine. We're going to examine the concrete steps they took, the strategic decisions, and the pretty astonishing results they've achieved. The goal here is to help you understand not just what happened, but why it matters, why it holds these profound implications for the whole ad tech landscape, and really for any business trying to navigate this rapidly changing digital world we're all in.
Okay, so we've got a clear path ahead. We're going to explore this big strategic pivot first.
Yeah.
Then we'll dive deep into their core technology.
Yep, the engine behind it all.
Then understand how they navigated those huge industry changes, especially around privacy. That's a big one.
Crucial.
We'll analyze their, frankly, eye-popping financial performance. And finally, we'll peer into their future growth opportunities.
Where they go from here.
Exactly. It's a lot to cover. But trust us, by the end of this, you'll walk away with a truly well-informed perspective on this really pivotal player in the space.
So before we even get into the weeds on the sophisticated tech that actually powers Appluven, we absolutely have to talk about something foundational, this massive, almost audacious shift they undertook.
Yeah, you can't understand Appluven today without understanding this move.
Our sources, they don't just call it an adjustment. They describe it as a pivotal and successful transformation. This wasn't like a minor course correction. It was a full-on re-architecture of their entire business. What exactly was this colossal shift, and why was it so critically important for where they are now and where they're going?
You've hit on the absolute starting point of their modern story, really.
Yeah.
The single biggest strategic move Appluven executed, let's say between 2022 and 2024, was the systematic divestiture of what they called their apps business.
Their apps business. Okay. What did that entail? Well, let's be clear. This wasn't some minor side project they just shed easily. This was a pretty substantial portfolio of their own first-party mobile games, titles they actually developed and published themselves. And the finalization of this significant transaction actually happened relatively recently, June 30, 2025. That date really marks the solidification of their transformation into this, well, new kind of company.
And it wasn't just a simple sale like, here are the keys, thanks for the cash, was it? The details of how they structured the deal itself seem pretty telling about their strategic thinking.
Oh, absolutely. The specifics really do matter here. They sold these apps business assets to a company called Triple Dot Studios, which is a prominent mobile game developer. The total deal value was approximately $800 million.
Okay, $800 million.
But here's the clever part. You know, that $800 million wasn't all cash up front. It was structured as $400 million in cash, which gave them immediate capital. Right.
Right. Immediate liquidity.
Exactly. And the remaining portion was actually an equity stake. It gave Appluven roughly 20% ownership in Triple Dot.
Ah, so they kept some skin in the game.
Precisely. It meant they could still benefit from potential upside in the gaming market through Triple Dot's success, but without the operational burden and, crucially, the margin drag of running those games themselves. And post-sale, the financial results from that entire apps business, they're now segregated. They're reported separately as discontinued operations in their financials.
Which makes things much clearer for investors.
Crystal clear. It provides a really clean view of their ongoing core software business.
Okay, so on one hand, they got a big chunk of cash. On the other, they kept a strategic foothold for future gaming success via Triple Dot. But why make such a dramatic move? Selling off an entire segment, one that was generating revenue, I mean, there must have been some incredibly powerful reasons behind that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If we zoom out and look at the bigger picture, this move was fundamentally about achieving clarity and laser-like focus. The apps business, while it did provide some valuable first-party data, which, you know, could be used to train their AI models, and that's a key point we'll circle back to. All right, that data piece is interesting.
It is. But that apps business also operated at significantly lower margins, and it brought much more revenue volatility compared to their software platform business. So for investors, this hybrid model created a real challenge. Analysts often ended up comparing AppLovin to, say, mobile game publishers.
Which are valued very differently.
Exactly. They're typically seen as lower margin, more cyclical businesses, rather than the high margin, scalable software companies AppLovin clearly wanted to be seen as. This kind of blurred their identity in the market and, frankly, probably created a drag on how investors perceived their true underlying value proposition.
So it complicated the story.
It complicated the story significantly. By selling, they meticulously simplified their business model. They systematically removed that margin drag, and they completely streamlined their investment thesis. It was an unequivocal signal to the market about their future direction. Software first, edtech leader. That was the message.
That makes perfect sense. It's like, you know, shedding unnecessary weight to make the core operation faster and more efficient.
Mm.
So with that divestiture now complete, what does this new AppLovin actually look like? What's at its absolute core today?
With the apps business effectively, you know, unmoored, AppLovin's operations are now exclusively centered on what they call their software platform. And actually, to further emphasize this shift, they're even renaming it. In future financial reports, it's going to be called the advertising segment.
The advertising segment. Got it.
And this platform isn't just like a random collection of tools. It's designed as an end-to-end comprehensive suite of solutions, meticulously built for mobile app developers, but also increasingly for other digital businesses too. Its entire purpose is singular. Empower these clients to efficiently acquire users and effectively monetize those users on a truly global scale.
An end-to-end suite sounds incredibly comprehensive. Like, it covers the whole life cycle of an app's advertising needs.
Can you break down the key components that make up the software platform? Absolutely. The platform rests on several critical pillars that really work together. First, you've got App Discovery.
App Discovery.
This is their primary user acquisition solution. It's currently the main engine driving their revenue. Think of it as a highly sophisticated, performance-based advertising platform. It's powered by their proprietary AXON AI engine, which we'll definitely dig into more in a moment.
Right.
App Discovery's job is to intelligently match advertiser demand with the available publisher supply. It does this through hyper-efficient, real-time auctions. And its core goal, always, is to help advertisers achieve and ideally exceed their ROAS targets, their return on ad spend.
So it's not just about showing ads, it's about driving actual results for the advertiser.
Exactly. It's not just eyeballs, it's predicting which specific users will bring the most value to that advertiser, getting the right eyeball.
Okay, so that's the demand side, finding users. What's the next key piece?
Next up is Amex. Max is their leading in-app bidding-based mediation platform.
Mediation.
This is where the supply side of the equation, the app publishers, really benefits. Imagine Max as this high-stakes, real-time auction house, right? But instead of art or collectibles, it's trading ad slots within mobile apps.
Okay, I like that analogy.
Every publisher using Max essentially lists their inventory, those moments within their app where an ad can be shown. And then, in just milliseconds, every major ad network, every demand source, simultaneously throws in their best bids for each individual impression.
Wow, simultaneous bidding.
Yeah. This intense, transparent, real-time competition ensures publishers get the absolute highest possible price for every single ad shown. it significantly maximizes their advertising revenue, what the industry calls eCPMs.
That sounds like it creates an incredibly efficient and profitable marketplace for the publishers who own the apps.
Yeah.
But you mentioned an AI engine, the brain behind app discovery. That must be the real centerpiece, right?
You're absolutely right. That would be the AXON AI engine.
Yeah.
This is genuinely the technological heart of AppLovin's entire platform. And arguably, it's their primary source of competitive differentiation. AXON. It's a proprietary AI and machine learning recommendation engine. And get this, it processes an astonishing trillions of data points daily.
Trillions daily. That's almost hard to comprehend.
It really is. It makes my own digital footprint feel minuscule. It uses all of this immense real-time data to make incredibly precise predictions about user behavior and determine optimal bidding decisions in those options we talked about. And the launch of its significantly enhanced version, AXON 2.0, back in the second quarter of 2023, that was a true inflection point, a watershed moment. It dramatically improved the efficiency and effectiveness of their advertising solutions and really, really set them apart from the competition.
Okay, so AXON 2.0 was a major upgrade, a real leap forward. Are there other solutions that kind of round out this whole offering?
There are. The core platform is augmented by what they call ancillary solutions. And these aren't just random add-ons. They are strategic acquisitions they made, specifically designed to create an even more comprehensive sort of full-stack offering for their clients. This includes Adjust, which is a mobile measurement and analytics company they acquired back in 2021. Adjust provides crucial insights into campaign performance, attribution, that kind of thing.
Essential for proving ROI.
Absolutely essential. And then there's Wurl, a platform focused on connected TV, CTV distribution, and monetization. They acquired Wurl in 2022. This signals their ambition to move beyond just mobile advertising into other screens. These pieces, Adjust and Wurl, fit together with AppDiscovery and Max, creating a much broader and more integrated solution set for their customers.
It sounds like a very robust, interconnected ecosystem. But how does AppLovin actually make money from all this sophisticated tech? What's their monetization model, and how is it tied to whether their clients actually succeed?
That alignment is actually one of their key differentiators in the ad tech space. Their monetization strategy is fundamentally performance-based.
Performance-based, meaning?
Meaning they earn revenue based on the actual value they drive for their advertisers.
Mm.
And typically, this value is verified by independent third-party attribution systems. So AppLovin gets paid for achieving specific measurable outcomes, like a confirmed app installation or an in-app purchase or some other defined post-install action. They don't just get paid for showing an ad for an impression.
Okay. So their incentives are directly aligned with the advertiser's goals.
Exactly. This model ensures that the ads served by their platform have to be highly targeted and lead to genuine, high-intent user engagement, because AppLovin's own revenue is directly tied to their clients' return on investment. The better AXON performs at predicting valuable users, the more successful their clients are, and consequently, the more AppLovin earns, it creates this powerful virtuous cycle.
A virtuous cycle.
Yeah. Better predictions from AXON lead to higher client spending and better results. That higher spending generates even more proprietary data flowing back into AXON, which makes the AI even smarter and more effective over time.
Okay, so they've sharpened their focus, they've divested the games, streamlined the business, built this incredibly powerful AI-driven software platform with aligned incentives. But here's where the story takes that dramatic turn we hinted at earlier.
All right.
This wasn't just about smart internal business decisions. It was also, almost presciently, positioning them perfectly for what was about to become an industry-wide earthquake, Apple's privacy revolution.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that seismic shift next.
Yeah.
So here's where it gets really interesting, and where AppLovin's story, I think, truly distinguishes itself from many others in the tech space. In recent years, one of the biggest, most impactful disruptions in all of mobile technology was Apple's introduction of App Tracking Transparency, ATT.
Oh, yeah. ATT, the acronym that struck fear into the hearts of mobile marketers everywhere.
Exactly. For many, this felt like nothing short of an earthquake. It shook the very foundations of how mobile advertising had worked for years. So what exactly happened with ATT, and how, kind of against all odds, did AppLovin manage to turn this massive, industry-wide existential challenge into a major defining advantage for themselves?
You're right. ATT was seismic. Probably the single most disruptive event in modern mobile advertising history was Apple's enforcement of its ATT framework. That rolled out with iOS 14.5 back in April 2021. And this move, it didn't just like tweak the rules, it fundamentally re-architected the entire privacy landscape for mobile apps. Historically, for about a decade, apps could access a device's unique identifier for advertisers, the IDFA, pretty much by default.
That IDFA was crucial, right?
It was the bedrock, the absolute foundation for detailed ad targeting, personalization, and critically, for accurately measuring how well ad campaigns were performing. ATT completely flipped this. It demanded explicit opt-in user consent before any app could access that IDFA.
And the impact was immediate, wasn't it? Pretty devastating for a lot of companies that relied heavily on that IDFA signal. It felt like suddenly the lights went out.
Absolutely. The impact was profound and swift. User opt-in rates for IDFA access just plummeted overnight. They went from nearly 100%, essentially the default setting, down to, globally, maybe 10-13% on average. Some reports were even lower.
Wow, from 100% to maybe 10%. It's a massive drop.
Massive. This sudden loss of signal, as the industry called it, losing those unique digital identifiers advertisers relied on to track users across different apps, severely hindered the effectiveness of traditional targeting models, especially those that relied heavily on precise user-level data and, you know, vast social graphs like Meta's.
Right. Platforms like Facebook Meta were hit particularly hard.
Disproportionately affected, yeah. Meta reported billions, literally billions of dollars in lost ad revenue directly attributable to this change. Their ability to target users precisely and measure campaign performance accurately was drastically reduced. The ATT framework forced the entire ecosystem to adapt at breakneck speed. It accelerated the shift towards privacy-preserving measurement solutions, like Apple's own SCAD network or SCAN, and it placed this enormous premium on innovative contextual and predictive targeting capabilities, ways to advertise effectively without relying on that granular user ID.
So this raises the critical question. How do you target effectively? How do you even measure success when you suddenly lose the very data that was the bedrock of mobile advertising for so long?
Exactly.
The conventional wisdom, right after ATT hit, was that pretty much all ad networks would suffer. But what we actually observed was something different, a profound leveling of the playing field. And for Apple, even interestingly, it wasn't a headwind. It actually became this powerful catalyst that kind of unexpectedly deepened their technological moat.
That's precisely it. Because, as we mentioned, they had been investing heavily in their AXON engine for years, almost preparing for this kind of signal loss scenario without knowing it was coming.
Right. That prior investment paid off massively.
Massively. While many competitors were reeling from this huge signal loss, AppLovin's underlying technology, particularly AXON, proved remarkably effective. It continued to deliver strong ROI for advertisers even without the IDFA. They leaned heavily on their sophisticated predictive and contextual targeting capabilities, which AXON just excelled at. This allowed them to not just maintain their position, but to significantly gain market share at a time when others were struggling just to stay afloat, just to adapt.
And that AXON 2.0 launch in 2023 you mentioned, that was key.
Absolutely key. The launch of AXON 2.0 in Q2 2023 was truly that watershed moment. It dramatically improved the engine's efficiency and effectiveness, so much so that it directly led to a quadrupling of advertising spend on their platform. Clients saw undeniable superior results compared to other platforms, and they shifted their budgets accordingly.
So their internal R&D, their tech investment, really paid off at the absolute perfect moment. But their strategic acquisitions also played a crucial, almost opportunistic role in capitalizing on this industry upheaval, didn't they? The MoPub deal comes to mind.
Oh, the MoPub acquisition was a masterstroke of strategic timing. They acquired MoPub from Twitter for a hefty $1.05 billion, closing in January 2022, right in the midst of this post-ATT chaos.
And MoPub was a major competitor, right?
A significant competitor, especially in the mobile ad mediation space, that supply-side piece we talked about with Max. By acquiring MoPub, AppLovin achieved two critical things simultaneously. First, they consolidated the supply side of the mobile ad market, essentially removing a key competitor. But second, and perhaps even more critically, they absorbed MoPub's vast network of publishers and, crucially, their immense data streams directly into their own AXON data flywheel.
Feeding the beast.
Feeding the beast, exactly. This move essentially transformed what was a major, crippling industry challenge for almost everyone else, this chaotic, signal-starved post-ATT environment, into a massive competitive tailwind, specifically for AppLovin. They effectively leveraged a competitor's vulnerability, brought on by the very disruption that benefited them, to further strengthen their own core technological and data position. It was incredibly shrewd.
So the ATT crisis didn't just highlight AppLovin's existing tech strengths. It actually acted as a supercharger. It allowed them to accelerate, capture market share from competitors who were caught flat-footed or couldn't adapt as quickly.
Precisely.
But okay, this brings us to the next point. How does this translate into a lasting competitive advantage, especially when you're up against some of the biggest, most well-resourced names in technology? How do they defend this position?
Right. You simply don't operate in a market of this immense size, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars globally, without facing some genuinely serious competition.
No kidding. It's a battlefield. We're talking about not just formidable rivals, but literal tech giants with almost unlimited resources. So what does this highly competitive landscape truly look like for AppLovin? And critically, how have they managed to build what our sources consistently describe as a deep and defensible competitive moat in such a challenging environment?
The competitive landscape for AppLovin is incredibly intense, and it's multifaceted. On one side, you have the sheer overwhelming scale of the tech giants. You've got Google with its dominant AdMob platform integrated into Android and search, and you have Meta with the Facebook Audience Network leveraging their massive social graph.
The behemoths.
They bring immense financial resources, unparalleled data assets from their billions of users, and deeply entrenched market positions. They're just enormous. On another front, you have more specialized game engine platforms like Unity. Unity, as you probably know, undertook that massive $4.4 billion merger with IronSource back in 2022.
Right, the Unity IronSource deal.
The strategic goal there was clear: create an integrated end-to-end powerhouse platform. Combine Unity's dominant game development engine with IronSource's advertising and monetization tools. Kind of a one-stop shop for game developers.
That sounds like a potentially huge threat on paper.
Huh.
But this is clearly a high-stakes arena. And while the tech giants loom large, it's fascinating to watch the dynamics among these more specialized players. We've certainly seen reports suggesting that the Unity IronSource integration has been, let's say, fraught with challenges, things like cultural clashes, product reliability issues.
That's a crucial observation.
How do those internal struggles for a major competitor potentially create an opening for AppLovin? And what does it really tell us about the importance of focused execution in this space?
That's a really critical point. While the tech giants operate on a slightly different plane due to their scale, the dynamics among the specialized ad tech and gaming platform players are where AppLovin's strategic execution truly shines. The Unity IronSource merger, despite its grand ambitions, has indeed been widely reported to be facing significant internal difficulties. These reported challenges ranging from clashing corporate cultures between the two merged entities to tangible issues with product integration and reliability have undoubtedly created distractions. They've likely slowed down Unity IronSource's ability to innovate and execute effectively.
A distracted competitor is always an advantage.
Always. And this is precisely where AppLovin's singular focus, their streamlined structure post-divestiture, and their disciplined execution become such a critical differentiator. Against this backdrop of competitor challenges, AppLovin has meticulously established this deep and defensible competitive moat, and it's really built upon three interconnected pillars.
Okay, three pillars was the first one.
The first pillar is its undeniable technological superiority, powered by Axon. We keep coming back to Axon, but it's central.
Because it works. Yeah.
The fact that AppLovin not only survived, but dramatically thrived in that incredibly challenging post-ATT environment, that's the most compelling evidence you need of Axon's fundamental advantage. And remember that launch of Axon 2.0 in Q2 2023, the one that led to a quadrupling of ad spend on their platform because of its superior performance. That unequivocally demonstrates this edge. This isn't just, you know, a good algorithm. This AI-driven engine is their core intellectual property. It's their most significant differentiator. It allows them to predict user behavior and optimize ad placements with a level of effectiveness that consistently outperforms rivals, especially when user signals are scarce.
So Axon isn't just good. It's proven itself better exactly when the industry needed that differentiation most, almost like a life raft in the post-ATT storm. What's the second equally crucial pillar supporting their moat?
The second pillar, and it's intricately linked to Axon, is what we call the data flywheel. AppLovin has constructed this incredibly powerful, self-reinforcing data ecosystem. It gives them a proprietary edge that's very hard to replicate.
A data flywheel. Explain that a bit more.
Okay, think about their Max Mediation platform, the auction house we talked about earlier. It sits at this critical checkpoint in the mobile advertising ecosystem. It processes billions upon billions of ad requests every single day. And crucially, because it's mediating auctions between publishers in all the major demand sources, it gathers real-time, market-wide pricing, and demand data from all participating bidders competing on the platform.
So they see everything.
They have this unique, real-time, bird's-eye view into the entire market supply and demand dynamics. They see exactly what every advertiser is willing to pay for what kind of user in real time across thousands of apps. They see which ads are performing best, which creators resonate. This isn't just data, it's proprietary market-wide intelligence that virtually no one else has at this scale and granularity.
And that feeds back into AX.
Continuously. It's constantly feeding and refining their AX on AI, allowing it to make ever more accurate predictions than competitors who simply don't have access to such comprehensive, real-time visibility across the whole market. And remember, the MoPub acquisition, that massively expanded this flywheel. It added MoPub's vast publisher base and all their data streams, creating this even more powerful self-reinforcing loop. More data leads to better AI, which leads to better performance for advertisers and publishers, which attracts more clients, which inevitably generates even more data. It's a truly powerful cycle.
That really brings home the idea of a self-reinforcing system. It sounds like it just gets stronger over time. So the more publishers join Max to get better prices, the more advertisers and demand sources are drawn in to access that inventory. This drives up prices for publishers, making Max even more attractive. Is that the network effect we're talking about? And how defensible is that cycle?
Precisely. You've perfectly articulated the third pillar, network effects. The Max platform benefits from incredibly powerful two-sided network effects.
Two-sided?
Yeah, it benefits both sides of the market simultaneously. As more publishers adopt Max because it delivers superior monetization, higher prices for their ad slots, it naturally attracts even more demand sources, more advertisers, more DSPs, demand-side platforms, ultimately a broader pool of ad dollars competing for that inventory. This increased competition, in turn, drives up ad revenue for those publishers even further, which makes Max an even more attractive and sticky platform for them to use. Why would they switch if Max consistently gets them the best prices?
Right, locks them in.
It locks them in. It reinforces that virtuous cycle we talked about, making it incredibly difficult for new entrants or even existing competitors to dislodge such an established and hyper-efficient marketplace. It's a classic example of a platform business model where the platform becomes exponentially more valuable the more people use it on both sides.
Okay, so this combination, cutting-edge AI in AXON, a proprietary data advantage from Max that grows stronger with every transaction, and these powerful network effects locking in both supply and demand, this undeniably gives AppLovin a significant multi-layered strategic edge, a real moat.
A very real moat.
But how did all these intricate strategic moves, this technological advantage, actually play out where it counts the most on the bottom line? Let's dive into the financials next. The numbers should tell quite a story. Okay, so any business can talk a good game about strategy, technology, moats. But ultimately, the financials are where the rubber really meets the road, right?
Absolutely. The proof is in the pudding, as they say. Or in P&L in this case.
Exactly. And our sources, they paint this really unambiguous picture of hypergrowth and margin expansion for AppLovin, especially recently. So for you, what do the numbers truly look like? How dramatically has their financial profile actually changed following these big strategic shifts like selling the games and the rise of AXON 2.0?
The financial data, especially looking over the last, say, 2 to 3 years, unequivocally validates AppLovin's strategy and the extraordinary effectiveness of their technology. It's really stark. We saw this dramatic, almost textbook hockey stick acceleration in their performance starting right around mid-2023. And that timing directly coincides, not coincidentally at all, with the broad rollout and the tangible impact of AXON 2.0.
The hockey stick effect.
Yeah.
Can you give us a sense of the scale?
Yeah. I mean, just look at their software platform revenue that's the core ad tech business now. In the first quarter of 2023, it was $355 million. Pretty respectable. By the first quarter of 2025, just 2 years later, it had reached $1.16 billion.
Wow, more than tripled in 2 years.
More than tripled. That kind of growth rate is incredibly rare for a company already operating at that kind of scale.
That's an incredible leap just for the software side.
Mm.
How did that translate into the larger overall revenue picture for the whole company?
Well, for the full fiscal year 2024, their total revenue grew an impressive 43% year over year, hitting $4.7 billion. But again, the real standout, the engine pulling the train, was that software platform revenue. It surged by an even more remarkable 75% year over year in FY24, reaching $3.2 billion.
So the soccer park grew almost twice as fast as the overall company average that year.
Exactly. And this momentum didn't just, fizzle out as we moved into 2025. In the first quarter of 2025, their advertising segment, remember that's the new name for the pure play software business, continued its torrid pace. It grew 71% year over year. And then by the second quarter of 2025, looking at it on a continuing operations basis, so excluding the divested games, they achieved a truly remarkable 77% year over year revenue increase. Just stunning growth.
This explosive hockey stick growth is truly remarkable. But how much of this would you say is just a reflection of the broader ad market recovering after the ATT shockwaves versus AppLovin actively taking share? And critically, what specifically about their technology allowed clients to feel confident enough to scale their ad spend so dramatically and consolidate budgets onto AppLovin's platform, especially when maybe other platforms were still struggling?
That's a really critical distinction to make. And while, yes, there was indeed some general market recovery post-ATT, this kind of explosive growth, it isn't simply a case of a rising tide lifting all boats. Not at all. It's a clear, powerful indicator of significant market share capture, driven almost entirely by the undeniable, demonstrable superiority of their AXON 2.0 product in that post-ATT world.
Because it delivered results when others couldn't.
Precisely. When competitors were struggling with signal loss, delivering inconsistent results, maybe pulling back on spend, AppLovin's technology allowed clients to actually scale their ad spend with confidence. Why? Because they were consistently achieving their return on ad spend targets, even without the IDFA. This consistency, this reliable performance, led advertisers, especially the big ones, to consolidate larger and larger portions of their overall advertising budgets onto the AppLovin platform. It became the dependable choice.
So it wasn't just growth, it was profitable growth based on performance.
Exactly. And this brings us to perhaps the most striking feature of their financial profile, beyond just the top line growth, their profitability and the exceptional operating leverage in the business. Look at their consolidated adjusted EBITDA margins. That's a key measure of operational profitability. They expanded dramatically. From a pretty healthy 38% in Q1 2023, they ballooned to a staggering 68% by Q1 2025.
Wow, from 38% to 68%. Those are not just healthy margins for an ad tech company. Those are numbers you typically associate with elite, high-growth enterprise SaaS companies. That's a profound transformation in profitability.
They truly are SaaS-like margins, and the numbers get even more astounding when you isolate the core business. Following the full divestiture of that lower-margin apps business, the pure-play ad tech business achieved an even more incredible 81% adjusted EBITDA margin in the second quarter of 2025.
81%. That's phenomenal leverage.
Phenomenal. This dramatic margin expansion unequivocally showcases the incredible operating leverage inherent in their software model. The company demonstrably grows revenue much, much faster than its underlying cost base. Most of the incremental revenue just drops straight to the bottom line. This leads to immensely robust free cash flow generation. Management even highlighted a specific example. In Q1 2024, an extraordinary 84%, that was $273 million of a $323 million incremental increase in quarterly software revenue, flowed directly through to adjusted EBITDA.
Incredible flow through.
Incredible. And as a result, in the second quarter of 2025 alone, they generated $768 million in free cash flow just in one quarter. This gives them substantial capital to reinvest, return to shareholders, or make acquisitions. And the timing of that apps divestiture, it looks incredibly strategic in hindsight. They executed it precisely when the software platform's performance was undeniably strong and accelerating. It simplified the narrative for investors and maximized the value clarity of that high-margin core business.
These numbers are incredibly compelling. They demonstrate not just strong execution, but a truly powerful and highly scalable business model. But of course, the market is always looking forward. Can they realistically maintain this incredible momentum? Our sources indicate the company has a clear strategy for future growth, one that reaches far beyond their traditional stronghold in mobile gaming. What does that future look like?
Okay, so AppLovin successfully executed this audacious pivot. They streamlined the business, focused on the high-margin software. And as we just heard, the financial numbers are absolutely soaring. Incredible growth, incredible margins. But for you, what's next? Where do they go from here to keep this momentum going?
Yeah, that's the key question, right? Sustaining that kind of growth.
Our sources clearly point to a strategic plan to scale their core technology, that powerhouse AXON engine, into new, potentially much larger markets. What are these future frontiers they're actively exploring, and how ambitious is this expansion plan? The single most important and potentially the most transformative growth initiative for AppLovin looking forward is the imminent launch of what they're calling AXON Ads Manager.
AXON Ads Manager. Okay, what is that?
Essentially, it's a self-service portal for their powerful advertising platform. Think of it like Google Ads or Facebook Ads Manager, but powered by AXON.
Self-serve. That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal because it's strategically designed to open up their highly effective AI-powered tools to a vast, previously untapped market segment. Small and medium-sized businesses, SMBs, and also direct-to-consumer DTC brands. These are typically businesses that just aren't served by AppLovin's traditional high-touch, enterprise-focused sales team, which historically concentrated on the biggest mobile game publishers.
So they're essentially trying to democratize access to their AI powerhouse,
yeah,
making it available to potentially millions of smaller businesses, not just the few hundred large ones.
Exactly. Democratization is a good way to put it. They want to make AXON accessible to everyone.
When can we expect to see this rollout? And what's the bigger picture, the long-term vision behind this self-serve move?
The launch is being phased strategically. Our sources indicate a referral-based opening is actually planned for October 1st, 2025.
October 1st. Just in time for the holidays.
Precisely. Shrewdly timed to capture that crucial Q4 holiday shopping season ad spend. Then, a full global public launch is anticipated sometime in the first half of 2026. The overarching strategic goal here is truly ambitious. Their stated aim is to help any business of any size anywhere in the world grow profitably. That's a big statement.
That is a very big statement.
It fundamentally shifts their go-to-market model. They move from being primarily a sales-led organization focused on those large enterprise clients to becoming a highly scalable, product-led growth company. The paradigm they're aiming for is very much akin to the self-serve advertising platforms offered by Google and Meta.
This definitely raises an important question, though. Can they truly replicate the success of those giants in building out a thriving self-serve ecosystem? It's not easy.
It's definitely not easy.
But this move, if successful, represents a dramatic expansion of their total addressable market, their TAM, right?
Yeah.
It potentially removes that inherent scaling bottleneck of relying solely on a direct sales force.
Absolutely.
It would allow them, theoretically, to leverage their own world-class performance marketing expertise, the same skills they use to grow mobile games, to acquire new advertisers directly onto this self-serve platform. That could potentially create a very predictable compounding growth engine for years to come.
That's precisely the strategy. And beyond just the self-serve platform itself, a core pillar of their growth strategy is the aggressive diversification of their advertiser base, moving well beyond that traditional mobile gaming vertical where they built their name.
Where are they looking specifically?
They're aggressively expanding into the massive e-commerce and web advertising market. This market is significantly larger and far more diverse than mobile gaming. They began piloting campaigns in this new vertical back in 2024, and they managed to capture a meaningful holiday shopping ad spend for the first time in Q4 of 2024.
And how did those initial tests go?
Early results, according to our sources and company commentary, have been extremely encouraging. Advertisers in e-commerce are reportedly seeing substantial returns on investment using AXON. And critically, they're often seeing performance that outperforms established channels, even channels like Meta, for similar types of ad spend focused on driving online sales.
Outperforming Meta for e-commerce ROI. That's a bold claim, but if true, incredibly significant. That's a huge potential market, a real blue ocean compared to their traditional gaming base.
Huge potential, yeah.
And they're also looking seriously at connected TV, aren't they? CTV is another area seeing booming ad spend growth.
Yes, absolutely. Through that 2022 acquisition of Wurl, which is a leading platform in the CTV ad space, AppLovin is strategically positioning itself to enter the high-growth connected TV CTV advertising market. And their approach here seems highly synergistic with their e-commerce push. The idea is to leverage their rapidly growing relationships with DTC and e-commerce advertisers, the ones they're attracting through web advertising, and the new self-serve platform to fill CTV ad inventory.
So using e-commerce ads on TV screens.
Exactly. Product ads, brand ads, these types of advertisements focused on brand building and showcasing physical products are arguably a much more natural and effective fit for the large television screen experience than, say, traditional mobile game install ads might be. It creates this powerful cross-platform synergy between web, mobile, and TV for those e-commerce brands.
That makes a lot of sense. And what about geographical expansion for these new initiatives? Is this mainly a U.S. focus initially?
Well, while their early web advertising campaigns have primarily been limited to the U.S., the full AXON platform, including the self-serve capabilities, is strategically scheduled to open up to most major international markets on October 1st, 2025. That's planned to happen in parallel with the initial self-serve launch.
So going global quickly with the new offerings.
Yeah. AppLovin already has a proven and extensive track record of helping its mobile game developer clients achieve global scale across Europe, Asia, Latin America, you name it. So extending its full suite of sophisticated advertising tools to international e-commerce advertisers, international non-gaming advertisers, that represents yet another significant and exciting vector for future growth, tapping into enormous new pools of advertising demand outside the U.S.
Okay, these growth opportunities, self-serve, e-commerce, CTV, international rent, they paint an incredibly compelling picture of a company with clear ambitions well beyond its established base. But executing on all this is complex.
Yeah.
How has this management team, the architects of this whole transformation, managed to navigate such complexity? A lot of it, I imagine, comes down to their strategic decision-making and how they allocate their capital. Let's get into that.
Right, it's one thing to possess a truly great product or some cutting-edge technology like AXON, but it's another thing entirely to successfully navigate the complex business landscape with a series of smart, sometimes bold, strategic moves.
Strategy and execution are paramount, especially in tech. And AppLovin's management team, based on our sources, has demonstrably shown a really sophisticated approach, both to mergers and acquisitions M&A, and also to how they manage and allocate their capital. What, in your view, stand out as some of their most impactful and defining decisions in this regard?
AppLovin certainly boasts a history of making bold, highly strategic M&A moves that have fundamentally shaped its current competitive position. Two key transformative acquisitions immediately jump out. First, as we discussed, that $1.05 billion acquisition of MoPub from Twitter, which closed in January 2022, that was truly pivotal. It allowed AppLovin to massively consolidate the supply side of the mobile ad market, effectively eliminating a key competitor in mediation, and most critically, absorbing MoPub's vast network of publishers and their immense data streams directly into that AXON flywheel.
Turbocharging the data advantage.
Exactly, turbocharged it.
And the other big one that helped build out their platform.
That would be the 2021 acquisition of Adjust for approximately $1 billion. Adjust brought those critical mobile measurement and analytics capabilities into the fold that really strengthened AppLovin's ability to offer a truly full-stack platform to its clients, covering everything from ad placement and optimization all the way through to performance tracking and attribution.
So smart acquisitions to build capabilities, but they've also shown discipline on the selling side, right?
Absolutely. Beyond these transformative acquisitions, their approach also includes very disciplined divestitures. As we talked about extensively earlier, that recent sale of the app's portfolio, the mobile games, to Triple Dot Studios for a combination of cash and equity. That clearly demonstrates a highly disciplined approach to portfolio management. They weren't afraid to shed a lower margin, non-core asset, even one they built themselves, to simplify the business, dramatically improve its overall financial profile, while still cleverly retaining some potential upside exposure to the gaming market through that Triple Dot stake.
Very strategic. But they also made an incredibly aggressive, almost audacious, opportunistic move that, even though it didn't ultimately succeed, still spoke volumes about their strategic foresight and ambition, didn't it? I'm thinking about their unsolicited bid for Unity.
Yes, the Unity bid. You're absolutely right. In August 2022, AppLovin really showcased its ambitious strategic thinking with that unsolicited all-stock offer, valued at a whopping $17.5 billion at the time, to acquire its primary competitor, Unity Technologies.
And the condition was that Unity had to walk away from its own planned merger with IronSource.
Exactly. That was the key contingency. Now, ultimately, Unity's board rejected the offer and proceeded with the IronSource merger. But the move itself, from AppLovin's perspective, was strategically brilliant.
Why brilliant, even if it failed?
Because a successful acquisition would have created an unparalleled end-to-end platform. It would have combined AppLovin's dominant mobile ad network with Unity's dominant mobile game engine, a true industry behemoth, almost unassailable.
Okay, the upside was huge.
Huge. But even in failure, the bid arguably yielded a positive outcome for AppLovin. It forced Unity into proceeding with what has been, by many accounts, a complex and challenging integration with IronSource. This created a potentially distracted and internally focused competitor, possibly slowing down their own innovation and execution while AppLovin continued full steam ahead.
That's fascinating, the calculated aggression. The Unity bid, even though it didn't materialize, showed this incredible willingness to make bold, landscape-altering moves. And you're right, the subsequent challenges Unity reportedly faced post-merger just kind of underscore the strategic wisdom, almost the prescience, of AppLovin's original play. It really demonstrates a management team with not just a strong strategic vision, but a proven history of astute execution, even in plays that don't fully close.
It absolutely does. Furthermore, looking at the capital allocation, their policy clearly prioritizes returning significant capital to shareholders. The primary mechanism for this has been an aggressive, large-scale share repurchase program.
Buying back their own stock.
Aggressively. They initially announced a $750 million program back in early 2022. That's been significantly increased multiple times since then. By the third quarter of 2024, the board had authorized an additional $2.0 billion, bringing the total remaining authorization at that point to a staggering $2.3 billion.
That's a massive buyback authorization.
Massive! And they've been actively executing these buybacks, funding them entirely from their robust free cash flow. They spent $341 million on repurchases in Q2 2025 alone. They've even engaged in large, privately negotiated transactions to buy back shares from major institutional holders like KKR.
What does that signal to the market?
This large-scale repurchase activity is a powerful, unequivocal signal. It shows management's strong conviction that the company's stock is undervalued relative to its future prospects. They believe the best use of their cash, beyond internal investment, is buying their own shares.
They're clearly putting their money where their mouth is. What about their dividend policy and debt management?
Currently, AppLovin does not pay a dividend. Their priority is clearly reinvesting earnings back into growth initiatives, R&D for AXON, sales and marketing for the new platforms, and those share repurchases. In terms of debt management, they maintain a strong focus on a healthy and flexible capital structure. As of Q2 2025, their long-term debt stood at approximately $3.5 billion. They've actively managed this. Leveraging their improved financial performance and strong cash generation allowed them to achieve investment-grade credit rating.
Investment grade, that's significant.
Very significant. It allowed them to execute a $3.55 billion offering of senior unsecured notes, basically, bonds not backed by specific assets to refinance existing, more restrictive secured term loans. This significantly enhances their financial flexibility and reduces their overall borrowing costs. Management's stated capital allocation philosophy prioritizes three things in order. First, investing aggressively in organic growth, talent, technology. Second, actively managing share capital via those repurchases. And third, maintaining a strong capital foundation with ample liquidity.
And any major leadership changes recently? Stability at the top?
There was a notable but smooth transition in late 2023. Harold Chen, who had been both president and CFO since 2019 and was a key architect of much of this transformation, stepped down from his executive roles. However, he remains involved, staying on the board and acting as an advisor. Matt Stumpf, who was their VP of Finance, was promoted internally to the CFO role effective January 1st, 2024. This demonstrates robust internal succession planning and ensures continuity in financial leadership.
Okay, so a clear strategy overall. Smart, opportunistic M&A and divestitures, a very strong focus on shareholder returns through buybacks, prudent debt management, and stable leadership. It paints a very confident picture for management.
It does.
However, no investment, no matter how promising it looks on paper or how well executed the strategy seems, is without its potential pitfalls. Its risks. What are the key headwinds and potential vulnerabilities that one truly needs to consider when looking at AppLovin? Let's tackle the risks next.
Okay. Every truly great story, every impressive growth trajectory has its inherent challenges, right? Its potential Achilles heels. And AppLovin, despite all its success, is certainly no exception.
No company is immune to risk.
Exactly. While their growth and strategic execution have been undeniably impressive, our sources also detail a distinct and important set of risks that have to be carefully considered for a balanced view. So, for those of us trying to get that full picture, what are the most significant potential headwinds and vulnerabilities for AppLovin as they move forward?
The most significant risk, and it's really systemic for them, falls squarely under industry and platform risks. It's their fundamental dependence on the mobile operating systems controlled by just two companies, Apple with iOS and Google with Android.
The duopoly. The elephant in the room. It really is the elephant in the room. AppLovin's entire business model, everything they do, is intrinsically tied to the ecosystems and the rules set by these two tech giants. any adverse changes they make to their platform policies, to app store economics, to privacy standards, to advertising frameworks like SCAD Network, even if those changes are well-intentioned for user privacy, could have a direct, material, and potentially devastating impact on AppLovin's operations and financial performance.
It's huge concentration of power.
Huge. This single factor is arguably the most critical and distinct risk inherent in their business model. It's something investors absolutely have to be comfortable with.
And this really raises that profound question. How much genuine control does a company like AppLovin truly have when its entire operating environment is so heavily governed by two external, incredibly powerful tech giants? This platform risk is unique and significant. It truly distinguishes AppLovin from many other enterprise software or even consumer tech companies. Any future shifts by Apple or Google, even if aimed at improving privacy, could still inadvertently disrupt AppLovin's hard-won advantages if not navigated with incredible foresight and agility.
Exactly. Beyond that existential platform risk, there's the broader related issue of technology and data privacy regulation. The entire digital advertising industry globally is under continuous and increasing scrutiny from regulators. Concerns about data privacy, user consent, tracking, even competitive practices are always bubbling up. The implementation of new, more stringent regulations, maybe something mirroring or expanding upon GDPR in Europe, or perhaps new state-level laws in the US, or even further privacy-enforcing measures mandated by the platform owners themselves, could create significant new compliance burdens for AppLovin. More subtly, it could alter the competitive landscape in unpredictable ways, perhaps eroding AppLovin's current advantages or demanding costly technological adaptations.
So those are the big picture macro industry risks stemming from external forces like platform owners and regulators. What about risks that are more specific to AppLovin's own business model or its direct competitive environment?
Okay, under business specific and competitive risks, the first and most obvious one is simply intense competition. AppLovin operates in an incredibly aggressive, often zero-sum environment. They face direct competition from some of the largest, most well-funded technology companies on the planet, Google and Meta, as we mentioned, both with vast proprietary data assets and massive user bases that give them inherent advantages. They also compete directly with specialized ad tech rivals, most notably the combined Unity IronSource entity, which has that potentially deep integration with the game development process itself. The fight for advertiser dollars and exclusive publisher inventory is absolutely relentless.
And with all these ambitious new initiatives, they're launching the self-serve platform, the push into e-commerce and CTV, there must be significant execution risks involved there too.
Oh, absolutely. Execution risk on new initiatives is a substantial factor to consider. A significant portion of the company's future growth expectations, and frankly, the justification for its premium valuation, is predicated on its successful expansion into these new verticals like e-commerce, web advertising, and connected TV. These are not only new markets for AppLovin, but they come with entirely different dynamics, different established incumbents, and different advertiser needs and expectations compared to mobile gaming. Failure to gain significant profitable traction in these new areas, or failure to consistently deliver compelling ROI for these non-gaming advertisers, would represent a major setback to their long-term growth narrative. It could trigger a significant reevaluation of the company by the market.
And their core advantage is Aconis.
Right.
What if that advantage erodes?
That's another key internal risk. Their dependence on AI technology and talent. The company's primary competitive advantage, the engine of its success, is the superior performance of its AXON AI. Any significant degradation in its technological edge, maybe a competitor develops a genuinely superior model, maybe changes in data access make AXON less effective, or maybe AppLovin simply fails to attract and retain the highly specialized engineering and data science talent required to continuously develop and maintain AXON's superiority. Any of those scenarios would severely erode their core competitive moat.
Finally, what about broader financial or macroeconomic risks that could impact their business, given its reliance on advertising spend?
Right. In terms of financial and macroeconomic risks, advertising budgets are inherently cyclical. They're sensitive to the broader economy. Ad spending is almost invariably among the first areas of corporate expenditure to be curtailed or reduced during economic downturns or recessions.
So a recession could hurt?
A significant global or regional recession would likely lead to reduced ad spending across the board, which would almost certainly negatively impact AppLovin's revenue growth. Now, their performance-based advertising model does offer some insulation compared to, say, pure brand advertising, because advertisers might prioritize campaigns with clear ROI during tough times, but overall ad budgets would likely shrink. Lastly, and this applies to many tech companies, key management and talent retention is crucial. As a technology company driven by continuous innovation, AppLovin's ongoing success is highly dependent on its ability to attract and retain key personnel, particularly its senior leadership team, but also, critically, the highly specialized technical talent responsible for developing, enhancing, and scaling the AXON platform. Losing key people could disrupt momentum.
Okay, these are clearly very real and significant risks to weigh, especially that unique, concentrated dependence on the platform owners, Apple and Google. But when you weigh these potential downsides against their proven strengths, the hypergrowth, the deep technological moat, the impressive profitability, what does the market currently think of AppLovin? How is it valued today compared to its peers in this incredibly competitive space?
Yeah.
Let's look at valuation. All right. So for many of you listening, understanding the so what of all this deep analysis, the strategy, the tech, the risks, ultimately comes down to value. How is the market pricing this company?
Yeah. Valuation is where it all comes together in a stock price.
And our sources clearly indicate that AppLovin's valuation reflects its status as a high-growth, high-profitability leader in its specific niche. It commands premium multiples compared to its direct peers. What does this mean in practical terms, and how does it truly stack up against its main competition?
AppLovin's valuation definitely stands at a very significant premium compared to its direct ad tech and gaming platform competitors. It's quite striking when you look at the numbers. If we look at publicly available data from, say, late August 2025, AppLovin has an enterprise value that's market cap plus debt minus cash to last 12 months, or LTM revenue multiple of around 26.4x.
26.4 times revenue. That sounds high for ad tech.
It is high for traditional ad tech. And its EV/LTM adjusted EBITDA multiple stands at about 44.2x. Now, this is underpinned by that incredibly impressive LTM adjusted EBITDA margin we talked about, nearly 60%, 59.7% to be precise. These are exceptionally strong financial metrics driving that valuation.
All right, so high multiples, but justified by high growth and very high profitability.
Mm-hmm.
How does that compare directly to, say, Unity? Unity is often considered their primary competitor, especially in that integrated gaming platform space.
Well, Unity, despite having the dominant game engine, presents a vastly different financial profile right now. It trades at a much, much lower EV/LTM revenue multiple, around 9.9x, so less than half of AppLovin's multiple on revenue. And critically, Unity is not profitable on an adjusted EBITDA basis. Its EBITDA is often reported as NM, or not meaningful in a positive sense, indicating ongoing operating losses.
Wow. So AppLovin is trading at more than double Unity's revenue multiple, and AppLovin is hugely profitable while Unity isn't. That's a stark contrast.
A very stark contrast. It clearly reflects Unity's struggles with effectively monetizing its massive developer base, the significant costs associated with its recent and reportedly challenging merger integration with IronSource, and just a fundamental lack of the kind of operating leverage and profitability that AppLovin has successfully achieved.
That's a staggering difference in valuation and financial health between the two main competitors. What about other, perhaps smaller, pure-play ad tech companies that are also publicly traded?
If you look at other players in the ad tech space, maybe companies like PubMatic or Digital Turbine, while they are competitors in certain segments, they trade at even deeper discounts compared to AppLovin. Their EV/LTM revenue multiples are often below 2.0x.
Below 2x revenue. Compared to AppLovin's 26x, that's an enormous gap.
Enormous. And this huge valuation gap, in the market's view, is clearly justified by AppLovin's vastly superior growth rates, its truly best-in-class profitability profile, and the perceived strategic strength of its integrated AI-driven platform. These other peers simply lack AppLovin's combination of scale, its deep technological moat built around AXON, and that powerful self-reinforcing data flywheel from Max. They just don't have the same recipe for sustained high-margin growth.
What seems fascinating here, and what our sources really emphasize, is that AppLovin isn't being valued by the market as just a typical cyclical ad tech firm anymore. Its financial profile, especially with those software EBITDA margins approaching 80% after the divestiture, and its extremely high free cash flow conversion, looks much more like an elite, high-growth enterprise SaaS company.
That's precisely the key insight, I think.
The market appears to be recognizing this crucial distinction. It seems to be awarding AppLovin a premium valuation based on that superior, highly defensible, software-like business model, rather than lumping it in with lower margin ad networks.
That's exactly right. And when you try to think about valuation through, say, a discounted cash flow or DCF analysis, trying to estimate its intrinsic value based on future cash flows, the value you arrive at for AppLovin becomes highly sensitive to your assumptions about two key things. its long-term growth rate, and its ability to maintain that exceptionally high profitability. Key inputs would be, can they sustain that management-guided 20-30% revenue growth from the core gaming market in the medium term? And crucially, how much additional growth will come from their expansion into e-commerce and the other new verticals? Plus, can they really maintain those near 80% EBITDA margins as they scale into these new, potentially more competitive areas?
So the current market price, that high valuation, clearly implies a high degree of confidence from investors in both of those ambitious assumptions, sustained high growth and sustained high margins.
It absolutely does. The current valuation is baking in a lot of future success.
Okay, so given that the market already has these incredibly high expectations built into the current price, what specific factors then could realistically cause this valuation multiple to expand even further from here? Or, conversely, what could cause it to contract significantly?
The primary driver for AppLovin's valuation multiple going forward, whether it expands or contracts, will likely be the market's evolving conviction in the scalability and applicability of that AXON AI engine beyond its current mobile gaming stronghold. For a potential multiple expansion, what could make the stock even more valuable relative to its earnings or revenue? The biggest catalyst would be clear, demonstrable evidence of significant and critically profitable traction in that much larger e-commerce vertical, particularly through the new self-serve platform.
Success in e-commerce is key.
It's key. If they can prove AXON works just as well, or even better, for driving online sales as it does for driving game installs, it could trigger a fundamental re-rating of the company. The market might start valuing it more like a broad digital advertising platform, maybe even closer to a pure-play SaaS multiple, because it would price in a far more diversified and exponentially larger total addressable market. Clear, rapid evidence of successful expansion into these non-gaming verticals would be a powerful catalyst for the stock.
Okay, that's the upside case. What about the downside? What could cause that premium multiple to shrink?
Conversely, the risk of multiple contraction is also very real. If that expansion into non-gaming verticals falters, maybe the ROI isn't as compelling for e-commerce advertisers. Maybe adoption of the self-serve platform is slower than expected. That would be a major blow. Also, if growth in their core gaming market decelerates more quickly or unexpectedly than the market anticipates, that could also cause concern. Either of those scenarios could lead the market to question the long-term growth narrative that currently justifies its premium valuation, potentially leading to significant multiple compression. Ultimately, the current valuation is a strong bet. It's a bet on the unique power and scalability of the AXON AI engine, and on management's ability to successfully leverage that engine across multiple massive advertising verticals beyond just gaming. Investors need to be meticulously monitoring those adoption rates, the demonstrated ROI metrics for new verticals, and of course, the actual tangible revenue contribution coming from these new self-serve and e-commerce initiatives. That's where the story will be proven right or wrong.
Indeed. It really comes down to execution on those crucial new frontiers. Translating that technological potential into concrete, profitable results in bigger ponds. Ugh. Okay, we've truly journeyed through AppLovin's remarkable transformation. We've delved into its cutting-edge AXON technology, scrutinized its impressive, almost startling financials, and peered into its ambitious future growth plans.
It's been quite a ride, covering a lot of ground.
It really has. Now let's try to distill all of this complex information down into the most critical questions, the core takeaways, that any thoughtful observer should be asking themselves after this deep dive. What stands out to you as the absolute key conclusions, the real aha moments from analyzing all this?
All right, let's tackle the big ones first, and maybe most importantly. How sustainable is AppLovin's competitive position in mobile advertising? Is this moat real and lasting? The absolute core insight here, I think, is that AppLovin's competitive strength isn't derived from just a single product or feature. It's an integrated self-reinforcing system. You can think of it like a meticulously engineered digital fortress.
A digital fortress, I like that.
Its walls are built from AXON's proven AI superiority. And those walls are continuously strengthened, reinforced by the unique proprietary data flowing relentlessly from their Max platform's dominant market position in mediation. This creates a competitive moat that is not just deep, but genuinely difficult, maybe almost impossible, for rivals to replicate or breach, at least in the medium term. Adding to that, the reported integration challenges faced by their primary competitor, Unity ironSource, also seem to provide a near-term buffer, potentially allowing AppLovin to further extend its lead while Unity is more internally focused. However, and this is the big caveat, the long-term threat remains those potential disruptive policy changes from the platform owners, Apple or Google. That's the one truly external variable that could theoretically breach the fortress walls.
That's a powerful analogy. The moat isn't static. It's this dynamic, interconnected system that's continuously strengthening itself. That inherent defensibility makes a strong argument for sustainability as long as, like you said, those external platform risks are managed with extreme vigilance and foresight. Which leads us naturally to the next critical question. What are the realistic growth prospects for AppLovin, especially given that the mobile gaming market might be maturing and the competition remains fierce?
The growth prospects, remarkably, still appear robust. Management credibly guides to a sustainable 20-30% annual growth rate just from their core mobile gaming business alone, which is frankly impressive for a market often perceived as maturing. But the real significant long-term opportunity, the blue sky scenario, lies in their aggressive expansion into those much larger advertising markets we discussed. The AXON self-serve platform targeting SMBs and DTC brands, the direct push into e-commerce and web advertising, and the strategic entry into connected TV. This multi-pronged strategy fundamentally expands their total addressable market far, far beyond just mobile gaming. It potentially unlocks massive new revenue streams for years to come if, and it's a crucial if, they successfully execute in these new, highly competitive arenas.
So while their original market might be reaching a certain level of maturity, their actual business horizons are expanding dramatically into entirely new, potentially much larger territories. That brings us to management's role. How effectively has this management team navigated the really profound industry headwinds and disruptions we've talked about, like ATT?
Their performance here, looking back, has been truly exceptional. You could even argue bordering on visionary in some aspects. Their foresight in investing heavily in machine learning technology in AXON years before the ATT framework suddenly made it an absolute industry necessity. That allowed them to turn what was an existential crisis for many into a decisive competitive advantage for themselves. That's incredible strategic foresight. Their strategic use of M&A has also been incredibly astute and opportunistic. That timely and transformative acquisition of MoPub, consolidating the supply market right when competitors were reeling, masterful. And furthermore, that disciplined and impeccably timed divestiture of the lower margin apps business, also a masterstroke. It simplified the corporate narrative, crystallized the true value of their high-margin software core right when that core was hitting its stride. This consistent track record truly demonstrates a leadership team possessing not just strong strategic vision, but also elite consistent execution capabilities. They don't just talk the talk. They've walked the walk through major disruption.
Okay, so strong past performance from management. Looking forward then, what specific catalysts could drive future outperformance for the company and its stock? Or conversely, what could lead to underperformance?
All right, catalysts. For outperformance, the primary positive catalyst would be faster than expected adoption and critically strong, demonstrable return on investment coming from that new AXON self-serve platform, particularly if they can show significant traction among e-commerce advertisers. Clear, irrefutable evidence of rapid and profitable expansion into those non-gaming verticals would almost certainly lead to a positive re-rating of the stock by the market. And of course, continued market share gains taken from a distracted or struggling Unity Iron source would also serve as a positive ongoing catalyst.
And the potential negatives.
On the flip side, for underperformance, the biggest risk remains that most significant external factor. A major adverse policy change from Apple or Google that effectively neutralizes Exxon's current technological advantage, perhaps by restricting data access further or changing attribution rules again. Other potential negative catalysts include a failure to gain meaningful, profitable traction in those crucial non-gaming verticals, or a severe and prolonged macroeconomic downturn that significantly impacts overall advertising spending. Or, perhaps less likely but still possible, a surprisingly effective and resurgent competitive response from a newly reorganized and refocused Unity Iron source.
Finally, let's bring it all together. Considering everything we've discussed, the growth, the moat, the risks, the valuation, how does the overall risk-reward profile for AppLovin compare to other technology investments someone might be considering today?
AppLovin, in our analysis based on these sources, presents a truly unique and, frankly, compelling risk-reward profile in the current market. It offers this rare combination: genuine hypergrowth, with revenue increasing at rates typically associated with much earlier stage startups, coupled with elite levels of profitability, those adjusted EBITDA margins and free cash flow conversion metrics that rival the most efficient software companies in the world. This financial profile is genuinely superior to the vast majority of publicly traded technology companies today. The potential reward, therefore, is substantial if the company successfully executes its platform expansion strategy and manages to become a dominant force in the broader digital advertising landscape beyond gaming. However, and this is the crucial counterpoint, the risk profile is also highly concentrated. The business's deep fundamental dependence on that mobile duopoly of Apple and Google creates a significant, almost binary, platform risk that is simply not present to the same degree in many other enterprise software or diversified technology investments. Therefore, the risk-reward profile seems best suited for growth-oriented investors who understand and have a high tolerance for the specific, concentrated platform risk in exchange for the potential to own a company demonstrating continued best-in-class financial performance with significant upside potential if the expansion strategy succeeds. It's a specific bet.
Wow. What an incredible journey we've taken today, really digging deep into Applovin's story. From where they started as this hybrid gaming and ad tech player.
Yeah, quite a transformation.
To executing that bold pivot into becoming a pure-play ad tech powerhouse. Leveraging their AI, AXON, to not just navigate, but actually capitalize on huge industry storms like ATT. And now, setting their sights on expanding into these massive new advertising markets like e-commerce and CTV. It's really a compelling testament to strategic vision, strong technological execution, and frankly a willingness to make audacious company-defining moves.
Indeed. This deep dive profoundly illustrates how a company, faced with unprecedented industry change, can not only adapt, but truly thrive. They did it by doubling down relentlessly on their core technological strengths, by making incredibly bold strategic decisions at the right moments, and by continuously refining their focus on what drives the most value. Mm. It really underscores the immense power that comes from having a deep understanding of market dynamics, combining that with an unwavering commitment to innovation, and then having the corporate courage to execute decisively on that vision.
So as we wrap up, what does this all mean for you, our listener? As you consider the future of digital advertising, or maybe indeed any industry that's facing rapid technological shifts and platform disruptions, which is most industries these days, right?
Pretty much everywhere, yeah.
Reflect on Applovin's journey. Ask yourself, is superior technology alone enough to guarantee success? Or is it really that potent combination of strategic timing, bold decision-making, and disciplined, relentless execution that truly defines lasting advantage in today's world? And how might these powerful lessons, these insights from Applovin's transformation, apply to your own challenges, your own opportunities as you navigate a world of constant information, shifting landscapes, and relentless change? Something to think about? Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive.